home has died.
Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
And welcome to Hope is Alive, and good evening, Brother Ralph.
Good evening, Richard.
And good evening, Pastor Cox.
Good evening, Brother Richard, Brother Ralph. Blessings from Oklahoma.
And blessings from here. Men, looking forward to the program. I'll sure let you know when the callers come on.
Thank you, Richard, and appreciate it as always. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Hope is Alive, the show about deliverance. The show about testimonies for those who have been set free from the different bondages that have held them captive by the power of the Holy Spirit, set free in the name of Jesus, because Jesus came to set the captives free, and he came to do that work by the hands of his followers, Christians. And it's just been a wonderful couple days here where I've been, and I'm just grateful to be back on here. Thank you, Lord, that I'm given the opportunity to come on here and testify to your glory and your works. Good evening, Pastor. How have you been?
Well, I am blessed, and I've heard that about you up there, Ralph.
That is the rumor.
It is good to be blessed. Amen.
Amen. Our Lord is good. He's gracious. He's merciful. And it's just fantastic to see him at work. It's fantastic to get to have an actual taste of the, just that little bit of taste of that power that he has given Christians, because he said, greater works than these you shall do also. And I'm just, whenever I get a chance to see it or hear a testimony of those greater works, I just get filled with joy thinking about just the greater things that are coming.
Amen. Well, I had a deliverance today, Ralph, this afternoon at the ministry office, and went really well. I was able to get the head demon up after the inner healing and the breaking of ungodly soul ties and all, and the head demon was stress. And you know, who is it that doesn't have some stress going on? Of course, whether it's demonic or not kind of depends, but in this case the demon admitted it came in when he was 19 years old and been there all these years doing its thing of stress, and of course there were other spirits with it. But it's very gratifying to see the people set free, and they get their, as I often call it, their Jesus overhaul. And what a difference it makes when their gifts open up accordingly, and that's been blocked by these spirits, and then they're able to go forward. It's exciting to be in the middle of it. Amen?
Amen. It is. Somebody set free. At 19, do you know how old the gentleman was?
He was around, I guess, in about 40, maybe 35 to 40. He's a welder.
Okay.
And had a lot of tattoos. I'd already prayed for him. This, he'd been in before, and I'd neutralized the tattoos previously, and I confirmed that with him. I wanted to make sure I had done it. I thought I had, and he said we did. And since that can be a door for spirits, but yeah, he loves the Lord big time.
Well, praise God. A gentleman that been held captive by stress for, which would be probably nearly 20 years, set free from it. And yeah, those tattoos can definitely be a door opener. I know we talked about that a few weeks back. And it's very rare to even see some sort of tattoo. It doesn't have some sort of demonic connotation to it just by looking at it. There's just so many of them out there. So many of them have to either deal with death or deal with tribal things. You see a lot of tribal things, and those certainly can be doors. It is a sin to tattoo ourselves up. We're told not to do it, so definitely it can be a doorway to the demonic. So if it's something you have done, and you can repent of that. There isn't a sin out there other than blasphemy of the Holy Spirit that can't be covered and forgiven by the blood of Jesus. So you can ask for forgiveness, repent of it, stand upon the authority and the promise you have about the deadly poisons, that they will not harm you, and you can just neutralize everything that's been there on those and close that door.
Yes, yes, and we have a handout on that if anybody needs one on it, or we can email it on the tattoos. Yeah, I was thinking earlier about Paul and his situation with the thorn in the flesh, and how he kept praying, Lord, take it away from me, and three times the Lord said back to him, Paul, my blood is sufficient for thee. And you know, as I see it, Paul finally figured it out that what Jesus did at the cross by his shed blood was sufficient, and now it's time for him. It's kind of like the Lord said, Paul, quit bugging me with this. I gave you the power in my name to deal with this. Now you do it.
I told you to take care of it.
Yes. And Paul finally got the message, and he did it. He spoke in Jesus' name, because apparently it was gone. We don't see it come up anywhere else that I'm aware of in the Word. So he apparently got it once he figured that out. It's time to quit bugging the Father. He'd already done it for us by giving us the power of attorney to do it in his name.
Yes, and that blood is sufficient, and that same blood that was sufficient for Paul is sufficient for us, and we have access to it, power and authority as Christians to operate in his name to come against these things. And it's unfortunate that most of the Christian world doesn't understand this. I know that I didn't. I know that you didn't. I knew that we had some authority, but didn't realize just how much authority we have, or actually how to use the authority is another way, too. I mean, you got to be taught to use a gun, and that's a source of power. You've got to be taught how to care for the gun. You got to be taught how to aim the gun, how to get it right on target. You've got to be taught how to care for it, how to be, and be careful with it. Obviously, we don't want to be using it where we're not supposed to. The apostles tried to call down fire on those they weren't supposed to, and the Lord rebuked them for that, and told them they didn't know what spirit they're of. So there's it's something that's sweet. If you have power, but be wise with it. Be wise with it. Well, Pastor, how'd this Monday go?
Well, we only had six cases. That was extremely light for us. Six different people. And we're we were having some discussion among ourselves. We had 12 on the list, and we're convinced we need to get back to taking authority before the Monday evening. We all get busy, you know, and kind of forget about that, of, that the enemy would like to block those people from coming, and they do it well. So, but we can do it well, too, if we'll just remember and apply the power and cancel out any assignments and demons lying into those people's heads that are scheduled to come for ministry. So we talked about that Monday evening, and we're going to really get after that for this next Monday. We're not going to let the enemy block people from coming for their freedom, talk them out of it through those demons of lies into their heads.
And it can easily be done. I know that I've had, over the last couple weeks, several opportunities to minister some people, and it's always something comes up, And it's the enemy. The enemy is comes to kill, kill, and destroy. The enemy doesn't want to be cast out. The enemy wants to have its hold, and it just comes against it. So that's a good philosophy, a good strategy there that I need to start exercising that more myself, especially when I know something's coming up. Start praying towards that and exercising and commanding those spirits to be silent so they can't communicate with them. And there is actually a prayer on the website. You can go to deliveranceusa.com. And there's praying for someone in a distance is on there, isn't that correct, Pastor? I believe I've seen it on there, but I know I have the handout.
You mean praying for someone at distance?
Yeah, where you help help. Here, I'm going to get that handout right here. I have a copy of it, but this is just a simple little prayer that you can use to help do what we were just talking about, where you can silence these spirits.
Yes.
Actually, I actually had know it by heart. But you simply just just take your power by the Holy Spirit, and you command this certain spirit to be silent, whether it's addiction, whether it's pornography, rebellion, or whatever, and you command it to be silent in the house of whoever you're focusing the prayer towards, and then you command it where it's unable to speak to any demon that day, and it cannot speak in the heart and mind of that person. It's a pretty simple prayer. Thought I had it. I didn't see it there real quick, but I didn't want to dig through my paperwork because we have Phyllis there. Phyllis, good evening. Thank you for joining us this evening.
Hey, good evening. It's good to hear your voices.
It's great to hear yours. Everybody, Phyllis is basically a neighbor of mine. She just lives up the road in Springfield, and she's going to be giving some testimony. I will tell you that I've been excited. She's been giving updates to both Pastor and I. And she is doing a good work in Springfield, and I just want to give you a little pat on the back, Phyllis, because I've been proud of the work you're doing, and I know the Lord's been proud of you.
Yeah.
Well,
thank you, Phyllis.
I'll tell you what, it's been a wild ride, and I never dreamt I would be able to give the kind of report tonight I'm going to give, but God gets all the glory. It's pretty exciting. I just can't wait to see the next moment what he's going to do next.
It's always high adventure, isn't it?
It sure is, I love it.
Well, Phyllis, go ahead and give some history again on yourself. You were on the show once before, but probably listeners weren't on before, and when you were born again, and then how you learned about deliverance, and what experiences are you having?
Okay, and while I'm talking, you guys just jump in, too, if you want to ask any more questions or clarify anything, because I don't want to leave anything out. So,
you bet.
Yeah, I was not raised in a Christian home. I was the eldest of five children, and my parents loved us. They did the best they could as parents, but there was no Jesus in the house. And we did maybe go to church on Easter and Christmas, like a lot of families do, just as a tradition type thing to go. But I was probably 35 years old when I realized that my marriage was failing. Nothing seemed to be working in my life as far as my relationship. My job was a success. I was a good teacher. Things were working on that end. But there was just something wrong. Something was missing. And when I realized that I needed God in my life, I needed Jesus, things started turning around in my life. And I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And I'll tell you what, things started happening that were good, but also the enemy was coming after me in a rampage to try to stop what God was wanting to do with my life. It was a real battlefield. And things just kept surfacing in my life that I couldn't seem to get a handle on. I didn't understand why I continued to have failed relationships and a lot of fear in my life. There was a lot of fear that I couldn't get rid of, fear of rejection, just fear of people not accepting me. There's a lot of loneliness and depression, deep depression and anxiety that I just couldn't seem to shake. And I knew that deliverance was something that was a very real thing. When I accepted Jesus, my spirit was secure with the Lord. Nothing could ever take that away from me. I knew that my spirit was one with Jesus. But I kept having these problems, and so I discovered that it was my soul that needed to have cleansing and help. My soul needed deliverance, and it was my mind, my will, and my emotions, and it was things that were tied to generations back. Even, you know, my parents, my upbringing, things that have happened in my life, things that really, some cases, I didn't really have any control over. Now, of course, there were things that I had done that caused problems in my life that I had to deal with and get deliverance from. But, gee, there are things way back in our ancestry that even affect us, even before we're born, that we need help with. And I had read books, I had read the Bible, I had read all the things in the Bible relating to deliverance. I read all the things that Jesus did to deliver people from, cast out demons and such. I fasted and prayed. I read books. And to be honest, Everett, I was, before I found out about your ministry in Oklahoma City, Deliverance Ministries, before I found out about that, I was ready to go to Chicago to go to John Eckhart's church. I'm like, I couldn't find a church in Springfield to pray with me. I had people pray for me and with me, but I still didn't get relief. I was really mainly with depression and anxiety. I just had this huge hole in my heart and a lot of tension in my chest, and it affected everything about me. My thought processes, I couldn't concentrate. I couldn't function. I was a mess. And I had a prayer partner from Aston who had relocated to Oklahoma City, and she sent me a message. She said, "Phyllis, you need to come here. You need to come to Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. Come here. You can stay the night with me. Just come on down here." So that's what I did. I drove myself. I got in the car, drove for 4 hours, and before I came, I was fasting and praying for 3 days beforehand. I was serious. I needed help, and I was coming to get help, and I was expecting God to move in my life. I was going to hold him to his word that he was going to deliver me, and it was going to be once and for all, this was going to be done. So I came, and your entire ministry and presentation was perfect. You gave your testimony on how God led you to the place where you learned all the things that you teach and that you minister. And that was such a blessing to me to hear that. And then you led us through the door closing prayer, and then the people were put with one-on-one with the ministry worker, and I was placed with a wonderful woman, and we worked through my problem list. And you have this wonderful problem list to circle the problems or the areas where I've had involvement. And I'll tell you what, I look at mine, I've got both of mine right here. I kept them. People that I have helped with deliverance since then, I give them a choice. They get their sheet back, and they can either burn it or they can keep it. One person wanted to burn it right there, so we went to the back fire pit, and we lit a match, and we made sure it was completely burned up.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Yeah, but mine, I kept mine because I wanted it as a testimony of everything that God did for me. I was coming out of, years ago, a terribly abusive marriage that was ending. Praise God, that is completely over, and I've been delivered from that. But all the residual things from verbal abuse and emotional abuse, they're very real. And I think, in most cases, more harsh to deal with than the physical abuse, because the evidence of it just continues to torment your mind if you don't get help.
Yeah.
And so I came, and your minister, the woman that helped me, she laid hands on me, and she prayed for new, for the old thought pathways, the old thought patterns to be completely severed, and for God to establish new neural pathways in my mind. And I had a vision. I saw all of these lights going off in my brain, kind of like sparklers, kind of like the 4th of July sparklers that you give to little kids, you know? And
right.
These sparklers,
yeah,
off all over in the top part of my brain. And then I saw that my brain was like Silly Putty. It was like a brand new brain with no convolutions and no creases or anything. And I realized that God had performed a real miracle, that he had given me a brand new brain. And
praise God.
I had a brand new start right there. That's what I needed. I needed those old thoughts to be gone, and old thought patterns making me feel like I was worthless, and, you know, totally worthless, not worthy of anybody having me as a friend or as in a relationship or anything. Just felt like a total failure. And
that lie program is probably working on you big time, pushing all those lies into your head.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Those are total lies. That's not what God says about me at all.
Amen.
And before the deliverance, when I had a vision of myself, when I saw myself, I saw that I was standing very straight and still, but I was built out of used brick. and you know, the mortar that goes in between those bricks. In a finished home, most of that mortar is cleaned, and nice creases in between the bricks. Well, my mortar was not clean. It was just slapped together. The bricks were slapped together, and it was just really cruddy looking. And in the brick were these deep, dark gashes, like made with a machete. And there wasn't any blood or anything, but it was obvious that I was not worthy of anything, and I was filled with all kinds of terrible wounds that were not healed over. And after she prayed for me, and we prayed through deliverance, I saw that I was built out of what looked like golden Legos. And you know, Legos fit perfectly together. You don't even need any mortar in between them. They just fit perfectly together.
Yeah.
I was made out of these golden Legos, and the light coming out from my body started glowing brighter and brighter and brighter until it was so bright you couldn't even hardly stand to look at me. And at the base of my feet, beautiful vines started growing up my legs and reaching up to my shoulders, and the vines then produced beautiful flowers, and they were heavily laden with fruit. I will never forget the difference in the image of what the enemy meant for me and then what God has for me. And I'm so grateful, Everett. I'm so grateful for your ministry and how God has used you to reach out and touch people all over the world. And deliverance is for every person, not just somebody who feels like, you know, their life is in a total crisis, but there are things that each one of us has that we need polished up on, and God wants to set us free from any kind of bondage. He wants us totally free, and that's what Jesus died for, so that we can be free, and we can have a life filled with blessings, abundance, and the things of heaven, which are love, joy, and peace. And the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus came to give us life, an abundant life. And I'm living that abundant life right now. I'm so grateful. All I want to do is tell people about what Jesus did for me. I'm so grateful.
Praise God. You know, it's obvious that just to hear you speak, Phyllis, it's overflowing, you know, with joy and happiness and vigor and zeal. Praise God. And you're getting about the business of Jesus that he told us to do in his name.
Phyllis, would you mind, Phyllis, would you mind giving us a little Reader's Digest version of some of the work you've been doing in Springfield? Because I think it would encourage people out there to see that here's someone who has gone through deliverance, taken time to get some training, and has been applying it in her area.
Sure, I'll tell you. In fact, I'd like to tell one thing about something that happened last night as well, but I'll start off with what God's been doing here at my house. So it was January 31st, I had somebody come over to my house for coffee, and I figured it was going to be about an hour. We were just going to enjoy a cup of coffee and talk a little. It turned out to be a four-hour conversation that led to the person telling me that God told them that they were supposed to come to me. Jesus told them to come to me, that I had the key that they needed for freedom. And when I realized that they needed deliverance, from some things that had happened in their childhood that has the enemy had continued to lie to them and keep them in bondage, and they were not operating in all of the gifts that God had given them to bless his kingdom. And they were afraid to operate in those gifts because the enemy had continued to lie to them. So I sent them home with the problem list, and I told them to pray and seek the Lord on what areas that they really needed help with, and to come back in a week. And I sought the Lord for a week. They came back. It took about 2.5 hours. Now, this is a spirit-filled, strong Christian woman living for God. But she needed help. She needed help being set free. And God used me, and the Holy Spirit guided us, and the woman was totally set free. Totally set
Hallelujah.
Free.
Hallelujah.
She felt wonderful. She felt the touch of God on her, and she is not looking back. Those doors and those lies have been shut off and closed, and she is just rocket. She's on a rocket ship for God. Free. Totally.
And you went through those steps. You went through the steps, did you? Praise God.
Did.
It just goes to show how anyone can use those and take them and minister to people around them.
That's right. And especially with the examples I'm showing, I didn't go out and tell people they needed deliverance. I'm just sitting here in my house praying for God to use me for whatever he wants, whether that's to talk to the cashier at Walmart and tell him to have a nice day and, you know, be nice to people, or have somebody come for coffee and want deliverance.
I think that's happened to all of us.
Oh my God!
I think they call that being in, ready in season and out of season.
Oh my God! Stay prayed up. Right? You don't know what's going to happen. So that was February 8th that she came back for deliverance, and then after that, there have been a total of 7 people. They're all pretty much unrelated. They do not know. I don't tell who comes. That's all totally private. Everything that happens here is very private and confidential. And by golly, I've got somebody else coming tomorrow at 10:30 in the morning. I know that God is wanting to set his people free, and he's going to do whatever it takes to get them free. And I'm blown away that this is happening. Things are accelerating. Things are accelerating right now. I believe part of it is the fact that the time is short, and the enemy knows it. And God is using every willing person that he has to just advance the kingdom of God. And we've got to be ready. And so I went to a women's conference, and I have just started using flags in worship, and I hope that 2 of my good friends are listening on this program. My 2 friends, Don and Martha, they are such an inspiration to me, and God has used them in such mighty ways to help me see the power in worshiping with flags, and it just changes the atmosphere. It just actually brings more power of God to the situation. So there was a lady who saw me worshiping with flags at this conference. She was a server, and she looked at me and she thought, well, gee, I think that looks like a show. Then she saw me and kept watching, and she went, wait a minute, this isn't anything about putting on a show. This woman is worshiping God with everything that she has inside of her. And the power of God bounced off of the flags and almost knocked her down. And so she invited me to come to a prayer meeting in Hollister, Missouri. I went last night. Come to find out, this group of 28 people are starting to form deliverance ministry team. Now, what's the consequence of me not knowing anybody there, God using me, worshiping with flags, and now he's putting me together with these 28 people that are wanting to start deliverance ministry team. God wants to set his people free.
Amen. Amen.
Things are accelerating. It's exciting. The work,
well, it is, and you know, the need is much, and the workers are few. There's very few states that even have any organized deliverance going on. There'll be couples, you know, here and there in their homes, but I've had so many calls come in on the deliverance ministry line. People in other states, and it's found the website, and they say, we can't find anyone in this area, and that's right. Multiple states even. So, but you know, we got a big job to do spreading this out. We're so far just kind of a drop in the bucket, but praise God, enough drops and it starts becoming a whole pail full of water. So you're well on your way, it sounds like, fellas. Praise God.
Well, I've had people ask me, they said, well, wait a minute, what's your covering? You shouldn't be doing this. What's your covering? And I just looked at them and I said, you know, my covering is Jesus, because he's the one bringing these people, and they need help. I think people are too hesitant to step out in faith knowing that Jesus is right there. And we don't need to be afraid. We need to be strong, trust in the Lord, and just expecting God to perform his work. Because as it says, isn't it in Mark, where it said that the disciples went out and God, working with them, performed the signs and wonders, because God was working with them.
Amen. And
it's exciting to see the people set free, completely free, because the one area that seems to be one of the worst for most people is the area of unforgiveness and bitterness. And I'll tell you, Everett, your step and the door closing prayer and then the ungodly soul tie breaking prayer, those things really help set the stage for people to be able to forgive and to allow bitterness to pass out of their life. And when they truly say, I forgive that person, that doesn't make what happened correct. It doesn't make what happened right to them. It also doesn't mean that the memories are going to go away right away. But it means, as an act of their will, they have given up the right to hold on to unforgiveness. And when they do that, and then when they start blessing those people, that turns the table on the enemy. It immediately starts changing the thought processes. And that establishes godly thoughts and helps start the healing process right away. It's just amazing.
Yeah. Well, maybe Ralph can join you sometimes. He's out of town a lot in his work, but maybe...
Yeah, Hollister's not too far from me.
That's great.
<You're> right.
I really could probably have walked wherever you met.
Okay, that's excellent. I'm going to tell you the name of the church.
Phyllis, I'm sending you Phyllis, I'm sending you a message here. Contact me after the show if you could.
Okay, I'll do that.
Okay. Yeah, I'd like to be able to talk more about that, and maybe be able to join you next time you do that. Obviously, couldn't have done it yesterday because I wasn't in town, and I'm not in town today. But we can talk about that. I'm excited, Phyllis. You've been doing good work, and I'm excited to find out there's people in my own hometown looking for a deliverance group, or at least being deliverance or needing some training. And I'll be more than happy to help with that.
Oh, I'll tell you, these people are on fire, and they want to learn more about worship, the great power in praise and worship. And after people get set free, all I want to do is worship and praise God. I'm so excited about what Jesus did for me.
Amen.
I'm a former science teacher. I taught science in public school for 33 years. And you know, I survived teaching in the public schools, and the news today of the stabbing that happened in Pennsylvania in the school there, you know, the problem isn't guns, the problem isn't knives or box cutters or truckloads of fertilizer. The problem is demons and people not knowing about the love of Jesus, and Christians not being taught about the power that they have in prayer and the authority that they have over their region. We all need to be praying in our region to bind these demonic forces so that they cannot operate in the schools and in public places. We just had a police officer killed in Clinton, Missouri, just yesterday from a 911 call to a home. Three officers were shot and one was killed. And it's all demonic activity.
Yes. People are always saying, well, they're trying to figure out what was his motive, why did he do this? And, of course, those of us in deliverance, we understand it real well.
We still keep running into
people that when the demons are up, the person isn't even there. They don't know anything that's going on when the demon has surfaced. And we see that ever so often in ministry. And I've commented this before, but it makes you think some of these murders and things where they do this doesn't make any sense. A parent is killing their kids and things like that. It could very well be that's a demon, a murderer up, and the person isn't even there. It's a scary thought, but it's the reality of it. I've seen this for years. I put it in the 10% category as a rule. 90% of the time, like the guy today, he could hear the spirit talking through him. He was kind of just in the back, hearing and watching, but he wasn't participating. And then I was able to call him right back up and all. But then there's these cases where when the demon is up, the person doesn't know anything that went on. And that's the ones I'm wondering about. It's a scary thought. So we need to be taking authority a lot more than we are. We've all been guilty of being lackadaisical on it and forgetting the power that we have. It's only power when we use it. And taking authority in a regional, over the area that you're living in, you know, and trying to bind those spirits up from operating and influencing those in this to walk into the schools, et cetera.
Yeah. Go as far as do is call down angels on assignment to protect the schools.
Yes. There's nothing like a backup of God's angels with us, ready for assignment, if we'll just call on them to do this and do that. I used them today. That spirit, that head demon got belligerent three different times, and I used the angels to jab it and discipline it, and it finally straightened up. But there, that's the way the game is. But praise God, you know, as we learn what we got from the cross, and that we really do have all power over the enemy, and that nothing will harm us, praise God, it's time to go forth.
Amen.
Yes, it is. Everett, I'd like to mention, I just got two messages today from one of the people that came for deliverance last week or week before. They told me that they sent me a picture of their son sitting down filling out the problem list. Their son is 18 years old, and they're filling out the problem list. And they're watching
Praise
your
Lord.
Videos. And
Praise God.
This mother is setting the stage for providing for deliverance for her entire family. It just makes me want to cry. I'm so happy. Because
yes.
that's what we have a chance to help stop the curses, cut the curses off from our generation and from our seed. From all past generations and from our future seed. And we can do that with the power of Jesus and the help of the Holy Spirit and God's love.
Yes.
It's the greatest thing in the universe.
Again, as we do that, then those young people, of course, demons can still bother Christians, but at least they're learning about the war and how to deal in it, especially about the deceiver and the demons of lies that so many young people buy into those lies. They think it's God even speaking to him at them at times, and it's actually the enemy suggesting they do this or that, or if they love them, I'm God, they'll say, and people think it's God Almighty, and it's the God of this world, Satan, and his demons talking to the people. So at least we have the tools and the weapons to deal with it. We got a long ways to go, but praise God, here we go.
That's right.
Well,
still learning so much. And I just pray that the Holy Spirit guides me, because I don't want to make a mistake. I don't want to misguide anybody. And I just want God to get all the glory. And I really thank God for ministry and how you've guided me. I'm really grateful.
And Phyllis, the deal is, you know, so many times I would do a ministry session, and then after it was over, I'd think, oh, I should have done this, I should have done that, overlooked doing this. And it seems like the Holy Spirit just fills in the cracks, you know.
Good.
We didn't think of to do, he does it. And the people get this wonderful overhaul, despite something I might have forgot, I think, to do, you know. So none of us have it to a perfect science, but the Lord will bless your thrust as you go forth in his name, and he will lead you and guide you. And you know, sometimes just a little bit of ministry will do a whole lot in a person's life. And if you're able to do all those steps that we teach, it works good. Those steps are time-tested for many, many decades. And they work well if the person wants it. And of course, we all run into some people that somebody's got them to come there and they didn't really want to change, and we all have some of those. So we do the best we can, and there's still plenty of people that are serious, just like yourself, driving down from Springfield to Oklahoma City, and the people that are serious, just like the woman with the issue of blood, she was serious. She knew if she could just touch the hem of Jesus, that she'd get free, she'd get healed. And that's still a true thing today. There's plenty of people that are saying, somebody help me, and they don't know where to go. So the Lord will coordinate people. I remember, blew me away. I answered the phone one day at Deliverance Ministries, and the woman said, God gave me this number to call. How humbling is that?
Wow.
You know?
Wow, that's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah, and other times I've had people say God gave me told me to call Deliverance Ministries, and they found our number. But it certainly puts a responsibility on us to do a good job of it and the best we can to help these hurting people. So it's wonderful that we have the tools and that people are everywhere needing help. A lot of them don't know that they need this, but they sure got the problems, and we have the answers if we can just get together with them.
Yeah.
You know, we have to remember it's the same God that sent Cornelius to Peter. That's the same God today.
Yes.
I actually thought about that. That came to my mind, Phyllis, when you said you talked about the lady. Said, well, God told me today that if I came over there, you know, you were gonna, I was gonna be set free, and those things do happen. If you remember the testimony of the lady I was talking to on the phone, and I finally asked her, I said, "Well, how did you find out about me?" And she said, "Well, I was sitting on the curb, praying that God would send me someone to help, and your business card blew up to my feet."
Wow!
I mean, those things happen, and it's. It's God coordinating. If you are willing to say, here am I, God, use me, He will send those to you. I mean, you look at the story of Cornelius and Peter. Peter was obviously willing. Lord, here am I, send me. And when he was in prayer, he was given a vision of people coming. And then there was Cornelius praying, and God said, "I heard your prayers. Go to this man, and he will tell you what you need to do." And that happened then, and it can happen now. It's the same God. Yes. I am the same today, today, yea, forever.
Amen. Amen.
Yes. I love it. Oh.
Well, Phyllis, do you have anything else you'd like to share? We have... just 2 or 3 minutes left.
Let me see here. I'm just so excited every day when I wake up, because I'm just anticipating that God is going to do something great. He's going to bring somebody to my path. He's going to give me a new revelation, or he's just going to take me out in a beautiful walk in the woods, and I get to enjoy his beautiful creation because he has set me free. And I'm just so grateful.
Praise God. And what else would you say to the people before we wind up here?
Don't stop looking for deliverance help. If you need deliverance, go to Deliverance Ministries. It's delmin.org, and keep praying for God to send somebody to you to pray with you, because He will be faithful to do it. He did it for me. If He did it for me, He'll do it for you.
Praise God. Well, Phyllis, thank you so much for being on.
Thank
and
you, Phyllis.
The excitement is, again, so obvious in your voice itself that you're
Yay!
On fire for Jesus. And you're getting about the Father's
so.
Business.
Yeah. All right.
So go enjoy and set them free.
Okay. Yeah. Let's set the captives free.
Amen. Well,
amen.
So I'll talk to you later then, Phyllis. Thank you again for calling in.
Yes,
all
thank
right,
you for joining
you.
Us.
Okay, bye-bye.
Blessings to you.
Well, what a testimony.
Yeah, she told it again. It's exciting to hear him on fire like that. And
it is.
The world is needy and waiting for him, and there's people everywhere needing help, so she's got a lot of adventure ahead of her.
Here's a laborer that's ready to work the harvest, and praise God, Praise God. So, and you can go to the website that Phyllis gave you. Will work. DeliveranceUSA.com. It's the both linked to the same website, and you can go there, and everything you need is set out to help you operate in the power that's laid out in Scripture. This isn't anything that's not found in Scripture. It's just they've taken the Scriptures, they've put them together, kind of made it cliff notes for it. His book, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus, can be obtained at Scriptures for America for a $20 offering, and it has all the steps laid out in it, too. There's training videos, there's testimonies, different prayers that you can use so you can come against certain things, and to be able to do these things yourself, because, Remnant, this is
Amen.
Not special Christianity. This is what was commissioned to Christians to do during the Great Commission. Jesus said, you shall go out and do these things, and one of those things was cast out demons. And this world is heavily demonized, heavily, heavily demonized. It is just evident everywhere you walk, everywhere you see, and if we can just get Christians to start realizing that they have this authority and that these spirits are real, we will change the world. And I believe we are just about out of time. I want to thank everybody for joining us this evening. We will see everybody next week. And God bless. Good night.
Luke chapter 10, God bless. Verse 19.
I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
ooh, and to overcome, ooh, all the power of the enemy.
I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
and to overcome all the power of the enemy.
To overcome, nothing
will harm you.
Nothing
will harm you.
Nothing
will.